Christian history. And in the front it says the 10 most influential Christians of the 20th century. That's a big statement, isn't it? And in there, of course, gives the history of Azusa Street. And they considered that brother, Seymour, a brother that he didn't know right from left, who went to an old beat-up warehouse that there were nothing but horses and so on that they kept in Los Angeles. He got a few sisters that cleaned up the place. And the Spirit of God was so powerful that I think very few days after, they had 600 people and the place was packed. And then they look outside and their windows was full of people trying to listen what's going on inside. My daddy was in Azusa Street one time, and he was telling me many times, drunks will walk across the street, and seems that a power grabbed them right from their coat and drag them right in the front of the altar and get saved, drunk. The Lord saves them. And, you know, we need that Holy Ghost again. You know that? We need that Holy Ghost. And when I was reading about that William Seymour, I was very much impressed. It gives statistics through his ministry what happened all over the world. And one of the influential men that's listed here is Billy Graham. Well, listen to this. Billy Graham makes a statement, he says, when God gets ready to shake America, he may not take a PhD or DD. God may choose a country boy, and I pray that he would. You know, the country boy was right here preaching the gospel, the last prophet, the last church ages, and the people were just sleeping. They're still looking. They know where they are looking. It's here. You don't even see it. It's a mystery, isn't it? They don't even see it. So I pray so the Lord will just open our eyes, because many things we don't see. Lately I have been thinking about things, the scriptures, and especially about the falling away. People think sometimes that the falling away is the denomination people, but they're not. They are believers of this message. This is pretty hard things to say, but, you know, we have to say truth, truth, and truth stands. And when you see the condition, especially, let's first go to our Bibles, to 2 Thessalonians 2:3, and I'll be saying some things tonight. I hope we'll not be offending anybody. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and the third verse. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. You say, Brother David, what is a falling away? Let's clear this verse once and we study the word. Comes from the word episteme. Stano means I'm standing. Episteme, I lose the ability to stand anymore. I'm confused. These people, one time they stood, but later on they were taken under. And there are many ways that people can be taken under, and I know can be the cares of life and everything else. And I have experienced that. And I hurt myself, and I'm still hurting myself, some of them. Because you can get wrapped up so much with the things that you just don't know where you belong anymore. Mentally, you might be there, the Lord, the prophet, and the vocabulary of the message, Brother Bram said this there. But unless the Holy Spirit is there to make it alive, everything is dead. I was talking to a minister that I normally have special meetings in his church there. About 350 people get together. He was telling me, he says, the whole thing is falling apart. He says, what do you think is happening? I says, one thing. After he discussed it, I says, the absence of the Holy Ghost. You know, if we had the Holy Ghost, we would be convicted so bad, we wouldn't even God's Spirit will be so strong in us that we'll look forward to Him and nothing else. You look around people, you'll be in trouble. You look unto the Lord, you can move. And I remember the first thing I had to do a few years back, 4 or 5 years back, to cut off my friends. I've been called isolationist and everything else, but they're wasting my time. I'm not there to discuss and fight about codes. If we cannot bring them to the Scripture, let's keep silence. We don't have 2 Bibles. We have 1 Bible. That's the Word of God, the Scriptures. And when you face that, if you really say that I got a code and you say I don't see words in the Scriptures, then you quote the man that probably for you it's not a true prophet. Brother Branham says, I say nothing unless it's in the Scriptures. And when you see the falling away, I compare with myself mistakes that I have done. And I remember when I went to Pauli and I said, I'm going up to Denver and see at the University of Denver. Very expensive school. Now it's about $32,000 a year tuition. So Pauli says, what can we do? We don't have any money. I said, we'll sell one of the cars and then take the other one and go. You know, that's lots of sacrifice. You know that? Get in a car and keep on going. You got money for gas. So I went up to Denver. How the falling away starts. When I got there, I met the director of personnel. We struck close friendship. By the time I left, I had 2 scholarships, and I had also a job for Pauli to work as a secretary of the security office. When these things were going on, I came back, and the admission was terrible. And I just had no time for prayer. And I'm still suffering for that. And once we let ourselves go, mentally we think we're back, but we are not. It takes God to restore you. And I remember this, that when the school started, our budget was very tight and we're saving 25 cents a week. And once a month, we used to go to Drumstick and get 2 pieces of chicken to eat. That was our special dinner of the month. And when the school started, I had to get up 6 a.m. to work at the library until 9. And then go to class until 1. Take something to eat with me and hit from Denver to Boulder, Colorado to work for IBM. I worked there until 5. By that time, I started driving back, and we were living the second level of the housing for the married couples in the University of Denver. And Pauli was looking from the window. When she sees the car, she was fixing something for me to eat. And then from there, 6 o'clock, I had to go back to the university library to work until midnight. And many times I will give my work to Pauli, and I says, record this for me in a tape recorder. So she was recording. By the time I get home, it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and I had a pillow speaker that you put the little speaker under your pillow, and you're listening to your subconscious. I was burning up everything. You know, it was a terrible state. Day and night was going on like that. No time for the Lord, no time for prayer, until I was totally exhausted. And you know, if we don't put the Lord first, we pay a price later. Always. And I remember I was taking 18 graduate hours for a master's degree, and you make 1 C, you're wiped out of the program. There's no questions there. I had to do 3.7 to finish it, 18 hours. But my spiritual life was deteriorated. And many times we read in the Scripture that the cares of life can choke the seed. We get so busy with ourselves and the world, the things of the world, and by the time we finish, we have no time for the Lord. We think we are okay, But unless the Holy Spirit leads us, we'll lead ourselves and we'll be in trouble sooner or later. Our prayer life goes to shambles. Our study of the Word becomes bad. Our listening tapes becomes bad. And everything around us, we try to just hold to it a little bit to see if I can make it. The only thing we know is Sunday morning service. But it takes more than that to hold. It takes a total dedication to God. And like I said, I'm still suffering about that. Because not only that, I ruined my health. I had a series of muscle spasms that my back was moved, the muscles and was twisted, and I was crippled up. I couldn't walk from here to the door without having to bend down to give circulation to my left leg and then continue another few steps. And I remember I went to medical doctors. Everybody said, surgery, surgery, surgery. So we pray. And I went to an osteopath. President Eisenhower used to call him for treatments. The man looked at me. He went through. I said to him, I'm in a terrible shape. He says, just don't worry. It was a man 6 foot tall, about 250 pounds. I looked at him. I said, oh, no. If that man puts me in the table, he'd dissolve me in a minute, you know. But I went to him. He says, I know what you went through because I went through the same thing when I was in medical school. The man started treating me. He says, you come back in 4 days. The only thing he did, he put his finger right in my back there and moved my leg. And I thought it was a joke. And I said to Polly, Polly, that's a joke here. But he said to go back, and I said, we'll go back. So we went back there, and he did the same thing. He says, now you're becoming over the hump. Don't let anybody have surgery on you. You know, sometimes you go to the right man when God sends you, then God can take care of things. You know, because you can fall to butchers. It's the only thing they know, just to cut you and do things. Finally, the Lord touched me. But you know, I learned a lesson, that the falling away is great. I don't care who you are, where you stand, you let your bars down, your mind is occupied for the classes all the time, you go through punishment, and you don't know, here there were, I think, about close to 600 applicants, they admit 80, they graduate 25. They don't care. You're a warm body to them. It was a fight. But I lost the battle. Because I gained a degree, but I lost my touch with the Lord. And then I had to regain things. And what this will profit me, I don't know. Probably God used some of it. I don't know. But the falling away can be so sneaky that we don't even know we are doing it. We can be too busy for ourselves, our job. Sometimes, you know, people have to work because it's Wednesday or Sunday. But I'm not saying to these people anything. I'm talking about the ones that eventually deteriorate because they create that environment. And we can deteriorate ourselves. And we think if we take a little time and pray, everything will be okay. It doesn't come like that easy. It takes time for healing. You know that? It takes time for healing. So the Apostle Paul here started in 2 Thessalonians 2:3 to say, just like the first coming of Christ was preceded by a period of apostasy. We're not talking, friends, about the Methodists, the Baptists, the Presbyterians. We're talking about the people of this message period right now. And we say, where are you going? After that minister, I said to him, I'll come over if the Lord tarries. I'll pray about it first. And we'll have a serious about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, what? I said, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They forgot I exist anymore. You know, they go on with their coats and forgot about the Holy Ghost. You know, it's so bad sometimes, you know. But you know, here you have a case that says the people at that time, the falling away will be first. We can be weakening spiritually daily that we don't even know it. And then our decisions later on will be out of God. I'm not talking about when you see the Word of God says don't do it and everybody says do it. That's the time you stand and God will stand with you. But I'm talking about when we weaken ourselves completely and we expect not to sit at the porch and God is going to come down and take care of everything. No, it doesn't work like that. There are things that we are responsible. The Scripture teaches us to study to prove ourselves acceptable unto God. All these things. When you look at this verse and you see that the falling away can be one way that we cause things, but sometimes you can weaken spiritually. And this weakness that we have can make us make the wrong decision. God leads us all the time, and God will lead us. I'm talking about if your decision is not based because of God, you know, you better go back and look it over. But if it's based because of God, don't worry, God will take care of you. I have been in these kind of circumstances, fasting for a year, 3-4 times a week, try to seek the Lord, to know His will. And then God revealed Himself. But there's another case that the Apostle Paul is speaking now. And he looks back in history, and if you take every church age that we have, every church age failed in one way or another, and God started another one because you cannot, something that's hybrid cannot reproduce itself. Now, all these churches that you see, you go to a Methodist, Presbyterian, or anything, and the Presbyterians are the most serious writers in the Protestant circles. You go to them, they'll open their Bible, they'll read a portion of Scripture, God bless you, my children, but means nothing to them because it's not life there to generate it. And when we start looking at the absence of life, we start questioning now what is wrong. And the people of this message, if you are halfway sensible, they will tell you there's something missing. Am I shouting, am I screaming? You pull them in the corner and start talking to them. There's something missing. And reminds me, a brother called me from Tucson. I shook his hand once or twice. And his brother David says, I want to call. I don't call the people, it seems to me, and so on. He says, now we have 2 million people around the world in this message. And I asked him, how many are saved? He said to me, I don't know. I said, what Brother Brown met would be a handful in this generation. These things we have to think about, am I right? Because that's a serious area. And about a couple of 3 services ago, I spoke about the end of the 2 giant prophets. One of them was Moses with the law, and the other one was Paul with grace. Paul never broke the law. But the fulfillment was the question in the life of Paul. The fulfillment, when he saw, he writes in Romans, the law is holy. But he says, with the flesh I couldn't fulfill it. There was no way to do it. And God sent His grace, His Spirit upon me, and now it's fulfilled. But before Paul died, he made a will. And his will is found in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, and the 29th verse, he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. In other words, there will be wolves eating you up. How they can eat you up? Who are the wolves? You know, you got to always remember, it might be the most appearing spiritual people that they will try to eat you up. Don't look at the bartenders right here now. He says they will enter in. Somehow they will enter in, try to tear you to pieces. And I always keep on studying, and the next verse says, also, of your own selves. In other words, there'll be people among you. If we say the message of the hour, there'll be people among you. Not the outsiders, not the Presbyterians, not the Methodists, not the Baptists, but message people that's a bit among you. And what they're going to do also in your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. I was studying what's perverse thing? Twisted things. They'll take things and they'll twist them. And the first crime that's committed on anything we do, regardless of our idea, regardless of what tape we listen, if we can bring it back to the scripture, we should stop and go back. Because it's a perverse thing among you, Paul says here. And if you see what Paul is speaking about here, and you go back to church history, what do you have? Marcion. We're under grace throughout the Old Testament. You know what it is? To blind the people, because the Old Testament tells you what you expect in the new. Don't look at the scriptures anymore, have new manna, fresh manna. You know why? To twist so you can't tell the difference. Until personalities, programs, and money take over. And when this happens, it takes over, then the ministry, I don't want to say that, will be so much sold to them that they will surrender their congregation absolutely to them. Bring the popularity, bring the money and everything, and we love you. We're glad to have you. Paul says, watch it. Because we live in an hour now that unless we see the scriptures, and you say, Brother David, I don't know too much about the scriptures, I'll say I don't either. Because there's no man can stand and say he knows the scriptures, who takes the Holy Spirit to reveal where we are. If it was taken because you know the scriptures, who are not saved by knowledge, all of us who fail the test and go to hell. But you know, we are saved by grace, not by law. And Paul now starts warning the Gentile church. He says, look to the first church, the first century. Look to the second one. Marcion comes around. They have the greatest following than anybody else there. He denied the scriptures. He denied everything, and they love the man until he led all of them to total apostasy, immorality, and everything. Do anything you want to. We're under grace now. Do anything you want to. We find later on what they were rejoicing. They found themselves out in the world and unable to come back. Look all these great men through church history. You'll find out what Paul told them is going to happen. This man will rise from among yourselves, shall arise speaking perverse things to draw away people unto them. Who is drawing people unto them? Any time that we don't point the people to Jesus Christ, that's what we do. The only object of worship, the only object that we're supposed to see is Jesus Christ if you want to survive. You look at ourselves today and we're in a terrible state. Today from two places, two churches, what can we do? Everything's falling. This is nothing to hold it. Where is the Holy Ghost? Sooner or later it's going to fall. Unless the Holy Ghost keeps you, you cannot keep yourself. You know that. Unless the Holy Ghost leads you, nobody can lead you. Unless the Holy Ghost protects you, you cannot protect yourself. All these things, you summarize them, and you've all the needs that you have, and you point your finger to one thing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Today's missing. It's one of the greatest things that ever happened in the scriptures. Do you know that? Why? The sacrifice of Calvary was accepted. Calvary was there, the blood was shed. You look as an audience and you say, he died for me. But when that spirit of resurrected Christ comes and dwells in you, you say, he didn't only die for me, I was in him when he died. That's the difference. I was in him when he died. Why? Because the Holy Ghost in me cries, Abba the Father. Because the Holy Ghost in me tells me something, that he is my master. It's a beautiful thing to know the truth, but it's a painful thing if the truth is not fulfilled. If you try to fulfill the truth, unless you have the Holy Ghost, you have no power to fulfill nothing. You are beating the wind, or you keep on beating the wind without going nowhere. The people don't realize that. Is the baptism of the Holy Ghost preached anymore in conventions that I go or you? No, you sit there, you listen. Brother Bram says this, Brother Bram said. As for sometimes I feel, say, sit down, get a parrot, substitute that man. What are we doing? I heard one time an interview with Billy Graham. And they asked him about how much money he makes. He says, nothing but a salary. I don't take any money. He says, you can be a rich man. He make a statement. He says, so I don't want the money, he said, so that the cross of Christ might be exalted. What is the crucified life? What is to be dead to yourself? What can we say, like Paul said, to know him and the power of his resurrections and the fellowship of his suffering? What is that? Six things. Is that an old gospel or a new? Paul says nothing changed. Any man tells you any different, let him be a castaway. I was in a place visiting this year. The man started giving, says, I got this quote and this quote, I'll let him finish. I said, do you have a Bible? He says, what do you want the Bible for? We got new manna. I says, if you don't bring the quotes to the scriptures, you call Brother Bram a false prophet. He says, well, I say that. I said, yes, why? Because you cannot bring what you say to the truth to verify him as a prophet. We're in a terrible shape, am I right? He says, there will be amongst you the preacher surrender to the personalities, the programs. Everybody screams and everybody shouts. Deny the blood. Deny Jesus. The blood is the propitiation of our sins. Deny the Holy Ghost. Deny everything. Everybody screams amen. I sit one time and I listen to me in a meeting like that. The preacher was screaming so on. And I tried to put one of my ears, what he's saying, and the other, what they are amening. And you know what? They're all amening the wrong thing. I didn't even know the difference. Why? Why it has to be like that? I'd rather somebody teach me three words. Lord, remember me at Calvary and be saved. Instead of fussing about doctrines and everything. You know, we are in a time that we have to realize what Paul said. Stands for today, that the falling away of this message will come out of the 30th verse. Promoting themselves, the biggest program. You got enough money, then you pay the best guys, you bring them over, the influence. And then bring more people and you get more money and you keep on going, but that's not the gospel. You know, so simple. You go to meetings, there's no sincerity anymore. The only thing you say, what are you going to eat at the end? The bail is number one. Repentance is not there. Conviction is not there. And you look at yourself, you say, what am I doing here anyway? Why? It's not because you have a bad message, but because man would twist it. Stressful. We'll twist it. And the spirit goes out. The twisted letter comes in. And everybody shouts and nobody knows what they're shouting for. We're in this hour right now, my friend. This hour right now, they're falling away. And the people, I look at them and I feel sorry for them. I look at them as corpse. Total corpse. Back the place. What did you get today? Oh, it was deep. You confuse the people, they tell you you're deep. You're simple, it says, I heard that before. But the Spirit is not there to quicken it either, regardless of what level you're going to speak. So now we're in a time that were wondering the coming of the Lord is so near. How many of us are ready to meet Him? How many who take letter and spirit together? How many who take they that worship me will worship in spirit and in truth? And just remember, you got the truth unless the Holy Spirit is there. Just 2 years comes and out. No stopping point. There is no conviction. Regardless of what we're going to do, the gossip is there, the people on the phones, this and that. And then you look at what's going on, and the first thing you're wondering, why they don't shut their mouths up? You know why? Because the Holy Ghost is not there to convict. It's that simple. The Holy Spirit is there, will make us keep silence, make us scared to death the hour we're living. Make us start looking at this verse here, also of your own selves. Don't blame the denominations. Don't blame these things. Blame ourselves that we are twisting things and the people sit there, amen, amen, amen. What's missing? It's missing the individual relational with Jesus Christ. We base it back in the church and we're nothing more than Catholics. The Catholic people say, my church. The people says, I'm in the message. You ask them about the Holy Ghost, if it's in you, they don't know what you're talking about. We're moving to a direction right now that the people are just falling at the seams. Minister that I talked to the other day, a minister said to me, Brother David, something has to give. I says, nothing is going to give. I says, we'll get ready in the presence of the Lord as individuals and let them take their road. And the final thing will be individuals standing. Do you know that when this Bible opens, the church, your pastor, your deacon is not going to be there? Do you know you're going to be alone standing up there? You know it's time for us to lean not in human understanding, but to lean upon Him. That's why our center in this fellowship should be Jesus Christ. I have respect of the prophet. I have respect of what God used that man, a great man, but who don't sing songs to praise the prophet, who sing songs to praise Jesus Christ. This is it and no more. We're moving to Catholicism as a group and we don't even know what we're doing. The young people need salvation, need a feeling of the Spirit. I do, probably you do too, but by sitting around and try to patch things up. You know, Brother Brown said, this, everything's okay. I'm not resting on that, friends. I'm resting in my need, that I need more of the Holy Ghost, that's it. What an hour we're living. And Paul said to them, wolves from outside, don't spare the flock, eat them up, this and that. And the second part is of your own selves. They will raise up. Don't worry, they'll come up. And you know how they're going to come up? They love you. Oh, we love you, you know. The game of love again. But your love and my love doesn't take me to heaven. It takes the Word to get me up there. Forget about the gimmicks. It's true, the Scripture says, as long as we have love, I believe that. I believe in the purity of love, not in the political love that we're talking about. So the Apostle Paul, he says there, speaking perverse things. If I put in a plain language, is speaking with twisted quotes that they cannot bring into the Scriptures. Speaking with twisted things. Why they don't leave it alone? But to fulfill what Paul said in every church age would be the same. The last days of Brother Bram was going on. And you remember the story? He wanted to become a hermit. He wouldn't like to look behind. He didn't want to deal with anybody. So I had it. You know, I had it. These people are just going their own way. One of them this, the other one baptized there, baptized there. I'm Apollos, I'm Paul, I'm this and that. What difference it makes? learn what it means to be crucified with Christ. And that's all you need. I remember when I went to Jeffersonville for a wedding. I wanted to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He says, David, you want to just tell Brother Branham that you're going to be baptized? He'll baptize you. I said, what difference it makes? A deacon or anybody baptized me, I'm baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What Brother Branham has to do with that? Am I right? What do you have to do with that? They look at me like I was the heretic. You know, like if your Brother Branham baptized me, I have an edge ahead of everything. No, it's the state of the heart before Jesus. That's all that it is. If I don't have that state, I'm in trouble. So Moses saw after his death what's going to happen, Deuteronomy 31:24-30. And Paul looks after his departure. And in these two verses, he told every church age what they expected to see. And exactly if you follow these verses and you take them to each one of the church ages, you'll see it being fulfilled exactly like that. Nicolaitans and so on, conquering the people. You get, for example, to the Nicaea Council. You get them there, sitting there. And you know, a man that wrote about Eusebius. Eusebius that wrote down that in Matthew 28:19, he says, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, instead of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He's the one that introduced on the Nicaea Council Constantine. Think of the insanity that they were. They couldn't see church and state be merging now and what Constantine have done. He says, don't worry, you have to have love now. You need money for your churches? Yes, have it. He built their churches, he built their oratoriums, he built everything, became so worldly, and he didn't have to persecute anybody. Everybody started being dissolved. But the Bram speaks about Hazleton's book. He says, she was a prophet, as he said. And if you watch that book, verbatim, he quotes Hazleton many times in the church ages. Why? Because today we see our direction and we say, Lord, where we're going to follow next. Danger from outside coming in, danger from within, tear us to pieces. You know where? Look to Him. Focus your eyes on Jesus Christ. Don't look to the right, to the left, but keep on going. The day of redemption is near. Men's heart is failing from fear. You ask the people today, are you saved? Just what's that? I mean, the message. I'm 20 years. My daddy knew Brother Branham. What is that stuff that we do? We're supposed to say, yes, I know through the blood of Jesus I'm saved. Am I right? You know? You ask how you receive the Holy Ghost. What's the matter with you? Are you Pentecostal? Yes, what's wrong with the Pentecostals? That's my question. I'm not talking about denominations. I'm talking about Acts 2. The people threw away the baby with the dirty water. And now they are sitting there in the middle of the desert, don't know what to do. Who is the next man of the hour? That's what they're looking for. And they're getting it. They're getting it. So now Paul looks at the circumstances. Therefore, he says, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I caused not to warn everyone might be a day of tears. Watch it. The trouble is coming. We should be weeping right now. Do you know that? We should be weeping. There was a time that Brother Brown just about surrendered. He says, enough is enough. I cannot take it anymore. I cannot look around. What can I do? He says, I said everything that I want to say. And that's the end of that. But there's somewhere, Caleb's and Joshua's, you know that? There's somewhere. He says, we are from a different spirit. You know, that's what Caleb, the scripture says. They were from another spirit. What was that other spirit? The Holy Spirit of God in them. And what happened? We are more than conquerors to take it. What can we say today? I know by the power of God, and I know by the Holy Ghost power, I'm more than conqueror to take. That's all that's left. The rest of them, reason for that, reason for that. Don't you think that about this court and so on? Let me tell you something, my friend. If you want to wipe everybody, the 99.9% out of their way, is ask them, what do you see something in the scriptures? They will look you cross-eyed. What do you say? They don't even know what the scripture says. I'm studying about a war among the believers, how the devil fights, and I make a little chart probably. We're going to have a service pretty soon to watch it. God is dealing with you and with me this hour. What are we supposed to do, Brother David? Close our eyes to every circumstance and keep on looking to Calvary and keep on going. I want to die to myself so Jesus can live in me. I want to die daily. Tomorrow morning is another experience. And after that, let the voices fly all over the place. A minister said to me from Kentucky, he says, Brother David, you don't want to come to my place. I says, no, I don't go out. He says, your isolation. He says, thank you. The only thing they can tell me, you're not the messenger. As long as they leave me alone anymore, I don't care anymore. Let it go. What you're supposed to do, you don't know. So I pray the Lord will take these thoughts from among us. And this is nothing that happened that's new, nothing that's hidden. Daniel, the 8th chapter, the 23rd verse is this. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come, he says, to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. Daniel saw that at the end. He says, that's going to happen. The people of the message don't have to worry about sometimes the persecution. There will be very few that experience persecution. And if I repeat church history again, the persecution will come within the people of the message. They are the ones that have the nails and the hammers to crucify you. Remember that. So what you do, learn how to die to yourself. Learn how to surrender to God. Keep on going and don't worry about anything. We're too close to the end right now. There's no right, no left. Amen. Let's sing that chorus now, at the cross, at the cross. I'd like to ask Brother Gordon to close us in a word of prayer. Let's stand. At the cross, where I first saw the light. Amen. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we pointed to the truth, Lord, and your truth is thy word, Lord, the scripture, O God.
Lord,
we thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. We pray that by your spirit, Lord, you would quicken this word that we heard this evening to our hearts, Lord, that it bring forth fruit, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, Lord, not to be too busy in our home schedules, Lord. Lord, set a time aside to commune with thee, O Lord. Help us each one, Lord, each
yes,
family.
Lord.
Lord, each soul standing here this evening, Lord, that we truly commune with thee, O God. Lord, that you speak unto our hearts, O Lord. Lord, just turn our hearts toward thee. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, Brother Dave. Lord, just pray and continue to bless him, Lord, with revelation. Lord, thank you for a stand, Lord Jesus. Lord, bless the hearing, Lord, of your word this evening. Be with those that are with us this evening. Pray, Lord, for them, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would draw them closer to thyself. Lord, and even for ourselves as we stand here. Lord, we just pray, Lord, you do a work in this fellowship. Lord, even in Brother Dave's ministry. Help us each one, Lord. Should you return, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, again.
Hallelujah,
Lord. Your grace, your mercy, your power that has kept us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a desire in our heart, the hunger and thirst after thee. Lord, in Jesus' name we praise you and love. We thank you.
We may dismiss in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.